as you are able, please rise in body or spirit for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, beginning in verse 28. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one of any of the things they had seen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Love this church. My name is Tyler Hart, and no, I don't usually preach. I'm a senior at Centennial High School, and I've been going to Glenmar pretty much my entire life. I enjoy playing baseball. I've been playing since I was very young, maybe 4 or 5. You may have seen me playing the bass at the 11 o'clock service, the 5 o'clock service, or sometimes the Christmas services. I love music. Ever since getting the opportunities to share my gifts with the church, I've loved it. This weekend is all about asking the question that Jesus asks his disciples a few verses earlier than the scripture you heard today. Jesus asks, "Who does the crowd say that I am?" And then he asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Jesus asks this of his disciples, and they say that the crowd believes that he is Elijah or John the Baptist. Wrong answer. Peter says that he believes Jesus is the Messiah. Bingo. So who is Jesus? The reading today is a confusing one. It had me completely stumped. I'm sure some of you had the same question I had when I first read it. What the heck is going on? I mean, something about Jesus saying you could suffer or die by following me and then going up on a hill to pray by himself while his disciples have trouble falling asleep. And then they see him talking to two very important people who had been dead a long time. Then God shows up to the party and surrounds them in a cloud. And through the whole thing, Jesus is glowing. When he comes back down the hill, he tells his disciples, "Don't tell anyone what you saw or heard here." And they don't. Let me get this straight. They just saw Jesus talk to dead guys. They got swooped up by a talking cloud. And now they can't tell their buddies about it. These three disciples must have seen some value in following Jesus. And that's what I'm here to talk to you about today. Who is Jesus and is he worth following? Here's a spoiler. The answer to the second question is yes. But how can we be sure? After all, Jesus says it won't be easy. To answer who Jesus is, I set this up in 3 points. Jesus is wise, Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus is worth following. Jesus' wisdom is immense. Before the scripture reading you heard today, Jesus is speaking with his disciples. Luke chapter 9, verse 23 says, "Then he said to them all, 'If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose or forfeit themselves?'" The wisdom in Jesus' words preaches for itself. Let me read that last line again. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world, but lose or forfeit themselves? It doesn't matter if you're rich, you're famous, you're popular or smart. If we aren't following the path intended to us by the Lord, we will not find the eternal happiness that transcends death and ultimately defeats death. Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 9, verse 22, that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and on the third day raised. Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, tells his disciples that he, the Son of Man, is going to die. Which is my next point. Jesus is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. God claims him. God is the cloud that envelops them. This isn't the first time that this has happened either. When John the Baptist baptizes Jesus, the sky opens up and a voice from the heavens claims that Jesus is his son. And about the whole glowing thing, yeah, pretty freaky. It means that Jesus has made contact with God. Just as Moses did in Exodus when he led the Jews out of Egypt. In that story, when Moses comes down from Mount Sinai with the tablets given to him by God, his face is glowing. That signifies some kind of spiritual conversation with God. Just like Moses, when the disciples see Jesus' face, it is radiant. I'm sure this didn't surprise the disciples too much. They probably said to each other, hey, there goes Jesus doing miracles again. They have seen Jesus do wonderful, miraculous things. Things no mere man could do. Because the truth is, Jesus is not 50% human and 50% divine. He's 100% human and 100% divine. This goes against everything I've ever learned about percents in math class, but it's true. The Spirit of God was inside Jesus and consumes Jesus, but he's still human. In short, the transformation that takes place with Jesus' body, the miracles that he has performed, and the claim by the cloud sent by God show that Jesus is God's Son. So back to the question of, is it worth it to follow God? Well, of course it is. But why? Where's the proof? If you're asking any of these questions, you must have been asleep during that sermon. The proof is in the scripture. Yes, the path of Christianity is not an easy one. There are lots of twists and turns, and things are constantly changing. And it's hard to find Jesus in difficult times. Peter shows this when he wants to set up dwellings in Luke chapter 9, verse 33. He wants to set up these dwellings in order to preserve the good moment between Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. What he doesn't know is that evidence of Jesus' grace is found at any time. I'll leave you with something I've experienced in my life that should sum things up. How many of you have been on a mission trip? Awesome. I will be going on my fifth mission trip to Hurley, Virginia in the summer. My close friend Tim Seidel always says one thing about Hurley that has stuck with me. Don't expect the same experience every time. Firsthand, I'll tell you that's definitely true. My first year I went, I had my grandfather with me. We had a very small crew of only 6 people. Our jobs for the week were to help the custodians clean up the high school where we slept, ate, and showered, and then go across the street to build a deck at a house. Throughout the week, we were almost always within a mile of the school. I don't remember much from that week, but I remember feeling different and sad when it was time to go. Fast forward to the next year, everything was different. My grandfather didn't go. I had a huge crew, and our job site was 30 minutes from the school. completely different experience. That was the rise of the boys. That week, I grew closer to two of my best friends, Adam Loudon and Jackson Pittman. The boys, the Three Musketeers, and Mr. Dale's favorite, the Three Stooges, as we would come to be referred to, was probably not thought through by DC, the mission trip coordinator, but in my opinion, it was the perfect allegiance. Our monstrous crew had the task of taking off old shingles on a roof and then replacing them. I remember the first day we got there, I climbed up onto that roof, looked straight ahead. The mountainous view was amazing, and that was the first time I felt a feeling that I only get in Hurley. My next year, my third year, the boys were again on the same crew, this one an average of 6 youth and 2 adults. We were putting up a tin roof on a house about 3 to 5 minutes away from the school. With more experience came more responsibility. We learned to become leaders of the crew under Mr. Dale Worley and finished our job by Thursday, then went to help another crew with their job. Pause. Why am I telling you this annoying run-on story? Because this past year was different. This past year was a mess. Yes, the boys were back in town again and everything was great, but then Thursday happened. After dinner at the high school, the adults had a meeting and the youth were instructed to leave the room and were under the authority of the older youth. My friend Tim was holding the door for me and I was walking toward it to leave. I looked behind me for 1 second and turned back to see a heavy wooden blue door careening towards my face. My initial reaction to being hit by the door was, "You idiot," which quickly turned into pain. So I walked over to another one of my good friends, Delaney Taka, and she's handing out some paper. And everyone is talking, and the room is spinning, and Delaney says, "Come on, Ty, you got to do this." After realizing I was actually hurt and not faking it so I didn't have to fill out her stupid paper, she went and got an adult who took me to the boys' side of the gym and had me lay down. I had a concussion, and it was not fun. Weak, ruined. But my friends stayed with me that night. I was in pain, and Adam, Delaney, Tim, and I talked, made jokes, and recited endless dialogue from the greatest movies to ever be filmed, Talladega Nights and Step Brothers. That is who Jesus is. Jesus is worth following. He's the friend who sits with you, tends to you, makes sure you're okay, shares a laugh with you, especially when you're at your lowest. He is that friend and will be with you forever. Jesus is eternal. His love is unending. Bottom line, don't try and hold on to just the good moments, because even in bad times, his love shines through. God claimed Jesus as his son in the scripture, but to me, I felt the love of Jesus from my friends. And for me, that's reason enough to follow Christ. So I ask each and every person here, who is Jesus to you? Amen.